your Bibles. We finished up last Wednesday on Psalm 139, and we finished there, and we had about a four-week series in that psalm. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did sharing it. It was a powerful look to me of that great psalm. And we looked at how the God that knows us so well does so much for us. And so you can always go find that if you want to. You can go to riverlifechurch.com and find it on the media page under the wall. But tonight we're going to kind of jump into another setting. I'm not sure if we'll get all the way through it tonight or not. We'll just see how things go tonight. But we're going to be going to Isaiah, the fifth chapter. Isaiah chapter 5. And I'm going to just read the first two verses of that fifth chapter. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And here's what the word says through Isaiah the prophet. It says, now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. And so he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. We're gonna take this little parable, if you will, even though it's based in reality, because God is speaking here about his people. He's speaking here about Israel. He's speaking about what he did for them, what he expected from them, and the fact that they turned away from him and walked away. And then the chapter goes into the fact that because of their disobedience, that punishment is coming and discipline is coming and that hardship is going to come. Judgment is going to come. And so there's many ways that we could go in this setting tonight. But what I want to focus on is the fact that not only is this a word to literal Israel, God's people over in the promised land and in this time of Isaiah, but it is also a word to all of us. You say, how would you know that? Well, because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus tells much the same parable. The parable of the vineyard is repeated in each of those three gospels. So each writer of the synoptic gospels, if you will, outside of John, each of the writers were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and it was important and of significance to share this parable of Christ. And we'll look at it in just a little bit about the parable of the vineyard. And you will find the parables go together with what we just read in the book of Isaiah. And so this is a word that we need to hear today. Now, here is the thought that came to my mind that we're going to look at as we walk down through these two verses and we move around in a few other places. I want to call this lesson tonight. Here's the thought that came to my mind. Failure is a process crime. Now, if you follow the news, you'll be hearing those statements of process crimes. And I had that thought that came to my mind, and I looked up the word, and in the United States criminal procedure terminology, a process crime is an offense against the judicial process. These crimes include failure to appear, false statements, obstruction of justice, and contempt of court, and perjury. Process crimes. And as I began to think about that, I began to realize that what God is speaking of there in Isaiah chapter 5 through his prophet is that God planted a vineyard, and the only way that there is failure in that vineyard is if process crimes occur. And we'll talk about it in just a little bit. But taking that thought, the failure to appear and to be present, the false statements, that cause us to forfeit the blessings of God. The obstruction of what is right. Contempt of God's judgments and God's words. So there's only one way that we fail in God's plan for our life. And that is if we reject His plan and if we take things into our own hands and we begin to commit crimes against His purpose. And so we're gonna break that down a little bit and just talk about that. So I'm going to talk to you tonight for a few moments about failure is a process crime. And we're going to take that out of this parable here, out of these words in Isaiah chapter number 5. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time just building into this. I'm just going to jump into this because there's enough in this that I don't need an introduction to this. He starts off by writing in Isaiah 5 and 1. Now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding His vineyard. It's important that you catch this. His vineyard. This is God's vineyard. Let me sing a song to the one I love regarding His vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. There's so much in this. We won't be able to cover all of this even if we took more time to cover. I mean, there's too much in this. So I'm not going to hit every little bit of this. But I want you to understand something. God's purposes and plans are very fruitful. What God plants is meant to be very fruitful. In fact, Jesus would say that if we are attached to the vine and we abide in the vine, that we will produce fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Because God's plan is always to be very fruitful. I want you to catch that. If you are not very fruitful in God's plan in your life and God's attributes upon your life and God's life for you to live and to walk out, if you don't feel fruitful in that at all, then it's not that God has turned away from you. You need to examine your life to find out what is keeping me from being very fruitful. And very fruitful means many things to many different people. But God doesn't judge fruitfulness as man does. Amen. God's fruitfulness is determined by what God intended to bring out of us. God does not judge your fruitfulness on what He intended to bring out of me. God does not judge how fruitful you are by what somebody else is doing. God looks at your fruitfulness. God has plans for you. God has success for you. And success is not the world's way of success. It's not the world's idea. We're not even talking about money and power and prestige and all of the things that we relate to success. He's not talking about all of those, how many toys we have or how big our houses are or how big our bank accounts are or none of that. That's not the kind of success that God expects. God expects us to be successful on this journey with Him. And that success is dependent on us being obedient to Him. God planted a vineyard, and the vineyard God planted is supposed to produce what God wants it to produce. Right? I mean, if you've ever planted something in the ground, how many of you planted something in the ground and expected to see it receive something completely different than you planted in the ground? That's not how that works. We don't plant something in the ground. We don't plant a tomato plant and expect it to produce apples. Right? That's not how this works. That's not how God is working. But God has put things in us. And here's the thing. God has planted us in very fruitful soil. And if we'll be obedient to Him, we will produce exactly. So turn to someone next to you and say exactly. Exactly what He expects us to produce. That's important, and that's more important than we give credence to and that we really look at, is if we are obedient to God, we will produce exactly what God intends us to produce in this moment. Whatever moment of life you find yourself in, whatever situation you have gone through, whatever circumstance you are up against, if you will be obedient to God, if you will walk in honor and obedience and understanding to Him with an open heart, with an open spirit, humbly before God, and you will live your life before Him in whatever you find yourself caught up in, you can produce exactly what God has you planted to produce in that moment. Any other statement than that is a cop out and limits God. God is not limited by our circumstances. Amen. God is not limited by our backgrounds. God is not limited by our failures. We can be limited because we are weak. And we can limit ourselves, but God is not limited regarding those things. God created this world, this universe, all that we would know and all that we could understand, but God is not subject to it. So all that is around us and all that we see, God has created, and now we live in it as it unfolds, but God is not subject to it. God is not limited by it. And you need to understand that God has placed you in this moment because He expects you to produce exactly what He wants you to produce. And that is not dependent upon you or where you've been or where you come from or what you think you can do. It's not dependent on any of that. It's dependent upon God. It's God's vineyard. I'm going to sing a song to my well-beloved about His vineyard. This is His vineyard. This is His work. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. Verse number 2 then says, He dug it up and cleared out its stones. We're just going to walk through the processes of success in God's vineyard. Because failure is a process crime. So if you fail, you're missing something. If failure unto God, I'm not talking about failure in what you attempt to do. It can look like failure and be success in God's eyes. I'm talking about failure of following God. If your life is failing in God's purpose for your life, then you need to examine what's happening. So verse 2, He dug it up and cleared out its stones. Now, what we know about a vineyard, it's a vineyard, and Jesus will even talk about it in the parables that we will look at. Is a vineyard, He dug it on a very fruitful hill, the word says here in Isaiah. And so, therefore, what would happen with that vineyard is then there would be a hedge around it of some sort. There would be some sort of barrier that would be around this vineyard. Because this vineyard had to be protected and had to be guarded. And so there would be something on this very fruitful hill. There would be hedges that would be all around it, or whatever the case might be, so that protection could occur. And here's what the Lord hit me with. In this vineyard that is God's vineyard that we are planted in, we are hedged about by covenant. And here's what covenant is. Covenant is God's presence. There is a presence that hedges around us that gives us the ability to always succeed. That's what covenant does. Covenant is God's presence in our life that hedges around us that always gives us the ability to succeed in God's purpose. Amen? A covenant is an agreeing together with. And it's a lesser party and a greater party coming together and making a covenant. We agree. The lesser party would agree to submit and to honor and to respect. And the greater party would agree to protect and to cover and to watch over. Amen. And that covenant was made with God's people. There was a covenant. It was a covenant of law that as long as they walked within the law, they would succeed in all that God called them to be. But the moment they would walk outside of the covenant of the presence of God, they would find difficulty and defeat. Come on now. Now we live in the New Testament. What is the New Testament all about? It's about a new covenant. It's no longer a covenant of the law, but now it's the covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. Amen. And as long as we walk in the covenant of grace in Christ Jesus, we cannot fail. Amen. If we understand this, we are hedged about. God's planted a vineyard, and he's hedged it about. We'll get there in just a little bit and probably go to that scripture, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But there's a hedge of covenant. When you walk outside of the covenant presence of the Lord in your life, you submit yourself to failure. Do you know Adam and Eve did it in the garden? When they walked outside of obedience to the God that created them, he made a covenant with them. You know what the covenant was? He said, you can eat of any tree. You can eat of any tree. I've given you all that you need to flourish and to thrive and to have dominion. You can eat of any tree that you come up and you find, except for the one. There's covenant. My presence will be with you as long as we walk together in agreement. So if you stay in agreement with me, success is assured. Amen. But the moment you take of that tree of life, you're going to die. Amen. And what did they do? What did they do? We don't know how long they made it. Probably about as long as we do. We don't know how long they lasted before they made the fatal decision to walk outside of his covenant and to lean upon their own understanding. But the moment they did, there was separation and there was failure. I hope you can hear this. Because this is a key aspect to how we fail in our walk with God. Failure is a process. Failure doesn't just happen overnight. You're not just walking along in full obedience and the joy of the Lord. And I mean, everything's great. And you're fellowshipping with God and everything's wonderful. And then all of a sudden, you just fall into gross negligent sin. That's not what happens. There's a process that's involved in it. And the first thing that you begin to struggle with is you begin to push the boundaries of covenant with God. You begin to lean upon yourself, your own ways, your own thoughts. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. Do you know that's what Israel did? Time and 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 time. I could keep going for the rest of this night because that's how often they did it. They walked outside of their covenant with God. And every time they did, there was a price to pay. Failure follows the breaking of covenant. And covenant is all about presence. Amen. Come on now. I hope you can hear this. We think covenant of law. When we think covenant, we think law. Covenant's presence. Because God said, hey, I want to be right there in the midst of you, to Israel. So everywhere you go, I want my tabernacle to be right there with you. Started with Moses. Here's the tabernacle. There he is. There's the presence of God. We can see the presence of God. And that God's with them. As long as they walk in that presence with God, they walked in victory. But the moment they walked outside of covenant boundaries, and they walked outside of the presence of God, the moment they begin to push that envelope, failure begins to come in. Amen. And Christ, the covenant, the new covenant that we live in today, is the same way. As long as we live in Christ, and as long as we stay in Christ, we can't help but succeed. I say it all the time. In fact, we were in church service on Sunday morning, and the pastor that we were there with, he made the statement. He said, he was talking about that. Nothing is impossible with God. And every time I hear that statement, it comes back to the revelation that God brought into my heart of what that truly means. He was talking about you can do anything when God, but what the Lord hit me with a long time ago, and I share this with you all the time, with God, when you're with God, nothing becomes impossible. There will never be a moment nothing will happen when you're in the presence of God. Because with God, the nothings are impossible. Amen. There's always something happening when you're with God. Amen. When you're with the presence of God, when you're walking with the Lord, and as long as we are in Christ, all things become possible. In Christ, I am a new creature. I'm not going to go back. I taught on that a little while back, and I told you that only works if you are in Christ. You're not that new creature if you walk outside of Christ, because we're hedged in. There's a covenant. There's a presence. And as long as we are in that presence, and as long as we are with Him, we have victory. Adam and Eve did it. Israel did it. Let's go to the New Testament. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Galatians find this out because Paul writes to them. And we would be highly offended today if pastor stood up and probably addressed us this way. But Paul writes to them in Galatians 3 and verse 1, "Oh, foolish Galatians." You see that exclamation point there? He wasn't saying it timidly. He wouldn't say, "Oh, you foolish." You know, it wasn't like the southern that says, "Bless," the southern lady says, "Bless your heart." All right, we all know what that means. How many of you know what that means when a southern woman says, "Bless your heart"? That means you're an idiot, basically. And I don't know any other way to say that. Amen. He said, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Amen. "Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" They were falling back into the old covenant. And Paul is saying to them, what are you doing? You're walking out of this covenant presence of Christ back into this old covenant of the law that no man can keep, and it's going to bring failure. Amen. You try it, you'll find it. You try to walk out of the covenant of Christ and grace and faith in Christ and yielding completely to Christ and humbling yourself before Christ and allowing Him to be your life, and you try to go keep laws, you'll fail. Because that's not the covenant that brings success. Christ is the covenant that brings success. And then in Galatians chapter 5, it's the same people. He says, "Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Don't go back to that. Your covenant is in Christ. Stay connected in the covenant. You're hedged about. You are protected. You will find presence that will keep you producing if you stay within the boundaries of the covenant. And then with every hedging in of a vineyard, there's going to be a door of some sort that's going to give access. Amen. Now we'll bear this out in just a little bit. Even though it doesn't say it in Isaiah 5, we find this in Scripture. We're hedged in, and there's a door of access. So when you walk outside of covenant presence, you begin to bring failure into your life. When you try to enter productivity and success in Christ through any other door except Christ, you invite failure into your life. When you try, and Jesus said it, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 10:10, He said, "I am the door of the sheep." The shepherd. I'm the shepherd, and I'm the door. What that meant was, in that day, the shepherd would gather his sheep into an enclosed area, and then the shepherd would be the door. He would lay down and stand guard be on guard in front of that door, so no wolves or no other ravenous animals could come in and harm the sheep. There was only one way in, and it was through the door. And I want to tell this to you. There's only one way of success with God in His vineyard, and that is through Jesus Christ. There are not many ways. There can be well-meaning people. There are other people that have differing religious beliefs that may be well-meaning. They may be good quality people. They may have love in their heart, but they will not succeed in God's vineyard unless they come through Christ. There's no other way. That's not being harsh. That's just being real. You can think you can, but that doesn't mean you can. If you try to go any other way, you get in someone else's vineyard. Amen. There's only one way into God's vineyard, and that is through Christ. So if you want to go through some other belief system, that's fine. But you'll end up in their vineyard, not God's vineyard. I say fine, meaning that's your decision. But you won't get in God's vineyard that way. Amen. And we got debates about this going on today. Sadly, there are debates about this in Christendom today. There are some people that say, well, we can't judge other. No, we're not their judge, but God's made it clear. He didn't hide the fact that there's only one way. Now, we can not like that, and we can argue. You can take that up with God if you want to, but you can't declare there's other ways when God said there's not. And you're not being compassionate if you try to. It's just the fact of the matter. So there's only access. If you try to go through other ways, you bring failure in God's vineyard into your life. So when you try to mingle other things and you try to enter into God's favor, God's blessing in other ways than Christ, you fail. When you try to mingle the world system, the world ways, your selfish thoughts, your desires, your legalism, your Phariseeism, when you try to mingle all that in and say, well, this is the right, you're off in somebody else's vineyard, but you're failing in God's vineyard. Amen. Only through Christ. He is the door. There is no other way. And then he says there in Isaiah 5, let me get back to it in verse number 2. He dug it up and cleared out its stones. He hedged. Vineyards were always hedged around. There would always be an opening or a way in. And then there was preparation of the soil. And the owner of the vineyard prepared the soil. Amen. He prepared the soil. He may have hired servants to do it, but it was his vineyard. And he cleared out the stones and he made a way. So there's success in the soil that God has prepared. Let me say this to you, and maybe I'll have you say this to somebody else. If you're walking in Christ, living in God's vineyard, there is success in your soil. Because God's preparing it. Turn to someone and tell them, there's success in your soil. Amen. Because God's prepared it. He's went through. He dug it up. He tilled up the land, if you will. You ever tilled up ground? Right? And thankfully, we've got those walk-behind ones now. That's a whole lot easier than getting the hoe out and all the other things and tilling that thing up by hand. It's a whole lot easier to just stick that thing in there and go. But you till it up, man, it starts stirring everything up. And old hard, rocky ground all of a sudden gets turned over and it becomes softer. And you're able to get stuff out. And you might hit rocks and they pop up to the top and you get those rocks out of the way. That's the picture. This is what God is. In God's way, He has cleared out the distractions. He has cleared out the things that are going to discourage you. He's cleared out the things that are going to harm you and keep you from producing. In God's way, there is success because God has prepared the soil. Here's how we fail. Not only do we walk outside of the presence, not only do we try to enter other ways, but then when we allow our soil to be corrupted by our enemy, by the world, or by ourselves. When we corrupt the soil and the way that God's prepared for us to walk. Amen. Some of us are busy about throwing rocks back in our path. God's pulled them out and we throw them back in. Come on now. We just keep putting hindrances in front of us, right? And sometimes those hindrances look like people. God will remove someone, and we put them right back in the path. Amen. Don't look next to you. It's not them. But we do. We're constantly putting stuff back in the back. God clears a path, and God says, now here it is, walk it. There's success in the soil. Walk in it. I prepared for it. And then we start cluttering it all back up with our doubts, with our worries, with our fears. Yeah, he says, have faith in God, and we say, but I can't. And we throw another stone of doubt in there. He says, walk in faith. I can't. I'm paralyzed. We put another stone in there. And then we say, see, God, that's in the way. And I believe if our ears could tune to heaven, God would say, you put it there. It wasn't there. You put it there. Right? But he's cleared the path. He said, walk in my way and you'll find success. Right? My wife's favorite scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and 6, talk about it. I mean, it lays it out. What's Proverbs 3 say, Veronica? There you go. There you go. And guess what path he'll direct you on? The one he's cleared out. He's made a way through. There may look like obstacles, but he's going before you. And he's making a way through. And he has a prepared way for you. Doesn't mean it won't be difficult. It just means God's way is successful. There is battle in growth. There are obstacles to growth. It won't be easy. But God's way guarantees success. Man's way guarantees failure. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 13. Quickly, because I'm running out of time. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. Let's turn it over there. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside. We know this. We know the passage there. He sows seed. Seed's the word of God. He sows seed, and some falls by the wayside, and some falls in thorny ground, and some falls in stony ground, and they spring up, but there is no depth. And the thorny ground, it springs up, but it gets choked out by the cares of the world. And the wayside, it gets plucked up before it can even take root by the fowls of the air, the birds of the air. But some fell on good ground. And the good ground produces. How do you check if you're in good ground? You check and see what you're producing. Okay? Because if you are producing good, you're in the right ground. Now, flip over with me to Matthew 21 real quickly. Is this okay with you? Amen. I just asked that to see if you're awake. Amen. Because then I'm going to go ahead and go whether it's good with you or not. So it's all right. Let's look at this. Verse number 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard. He set a hedge around it. He dug a wine press in it. He built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. When the time of production came, you know, he sends back, and it's a story of the prophets coming to Israel, and they kill them, and they beat them, and do all these things. And then he says, well, I'll send my son, and they take the son, the heir, and they kill the son. And it's a picture, it's a parable. But look at the vineyard. He planted the vineyard, and he put a hedge around it, and he put a tower in it, and he put a wine press in it. Does that sound familiar? It sounds just like Isaiah 5. It's God's vineyard. He prepared the soil and it produces. I'm gonna move on quickly because I got a couple more things I want to say, and I'm just gonna press through this tonight real quickly. Now I'll just stop there. I got too much. Thank you. Yes, there you go. Amen's all over the house. Prep. We'll just stop right there, and I'll pick it up next week. But he prepares the soil. Our problem is when we are failing in our life with God is we have allowed either ourself, our enemy, or the world around us to corrupt the soil that God intends to produce. Don't let anything corrupt your soil. Because God's put success in the soil. Protect God's soil. Do you know how he made man? How did he make man? Way back in Genesis. What did he do to make man? He scooped up man out of a clump of dust out of the earth and dirt out of the ground. And he formed it and he breathed life. And man became a living being out of the dust of the ground. In fact, when we take trips out to gravesites, we'll say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Because dust we were, and dust this body will go again, but our spirit will forever be in the presence of the Lord. But these are dust suits. These are dirt suits. We are of the ground. We are of the soil. But God put success in the soil. And if we don't allow that to be corrupted by anything of this world and by our adversary and by our own thought processes, if we keep our mind upon Christ and we keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we can't help but succeed in God's purpose. God's purpose for Billy Graham was to see millions saved through his ministry. But God's purpose for the man who brought Billy Graham to the Lord wasn't to see millions saved. I don't know how many he saw saved, but it was to see one saved that would bring millions to the Lord. Who had more success? Both equally. Amen? The guy that brings Billy, you may never know his name. I think the stories are out. We know his name. But there are people that have brought people to the Lord who won millions to the Lord. And you'll never know their name. They may labor in obscurity and feel like a failure their whole life according to the world. But they could be successful in the one person they touched. And their success is measured by God because success was put in the soil. There's something about this. And let me, I'll stop right here. But here's what I want to say that I skipped over and I want to go back to. Verse 1 in Isaiah 5, a song to my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. I want you to catch this. The production was not judged based solely on the outcome, but on the soil that was his. How to preach now. Some of you preachers need to write that down. How to preach. It's not based on the outcome of how many grapes are produced. That's not the success. What the Bible talks about success there is the very fruitful hill. The soil. Amen. If you're his soil, there's success in you for God's plan. Pursue it. Don't let it be corrupted. Don't put stuff into your soil that's going to corrupt God's success. Now, I could preach right here now. Because we want to have debates about what's legal to put in our soil. Rather, we should have debates on how pure we could keep our soil so we could walk in God's success for our lives. Amen. I'm going to bust out in an old holiness preacher before long. Amen. I need to go get my shirt and tie on and my jacket before I do that. Shave my face. I can't do that right now. Amen. Yeah. We let's not debate about what we can put in the soil and be okay. Let's debate. Let's determine how pure we can keep the soil so we can walk in His success. Amen. You know what I found? Stand your feet with me. You know what I found? I have found if I focus on God and the Lord and His purpose and His plan and my love for Him and my worship of Him, I don't fail. But when I begin to focus on things that would corrupt the soil, failure follows. Amen. We'll pick this up. We'll carry on a little bit farther next week. Amen. How many believe there's success in the soil? And how many believe God is able to use you to do exactly what He wants you to do? If we believe it, then let's live it. Let's not commit process crimes that keep us from success and obedience. Bow your heads and let's pray. Father.